Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hello.
We are in round two of our third annual
Cage Match.
Winner of round one was me with It Could Happen to You. And we also are rejoined by our fifth vote, Miss Heather.
Hello.
Love. This is round two, which is Guido versus Matt. Guido is going to go first. And we will then pick the winner between those two and then pick the ultimate winner of the cage match. Guido, are you ready? You get 30 minutes to defend your choice. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm pro-choice.
Okay. Wonderful. Love you. 3, 2, 1.
It's my movie. You know, Lord of War stars our man, Nicolas Cage. It was directed by Andrew Niccol. Came out in 2005, grossed $72 million.
That's good.
Which is a lot more than my opponent's movies gross. But, you know, moving on. So, in the early 1980s. Wait a second. I'm supposed to ask you if you all seen this movie? That's great.
I had never seen this movie.
No. I have absolutely seen this movie. My mom and I rented it from the Hollywood Video. Really? Brookside.
Okay.
When it first came out.
Nice.
Hell yes.
Yeah. I also have seen this movie.
You've seen it, of course. Tammy has only seen it. Okay.
No, I never saw it.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Wonderful.
Is it?
Yeah, it's gun porn. Join me, will you? In the early 1980s is where we'll be. Ukrainian-American restaurateur Yuri Orlov, that's Nicolas Cage, witnesses a gunfight amongst the Russian mafia in his area of Brighton Beach. The incident inspires him to begin trafficking arms for personal profit. What?
There's just not enough backstory.
What do you mean? Yeah. He literally narrates this entire movie
One
to you.
One day he's making borscht, and the next day he's selling a gun in a really seedy hotel. Like,
you know what? I would just like to say, Allie, that it could happen to you.
It could.
Ayo!
One day, you're just making borscht. The next day, you're selling AK-47s. It could happen to you.
It truly is that. Did John have something to say? No, you know Tammy, too.
Make sure we have all the guns listed properly.
Oh, well, there's so many. I wasn't even going to, like, shine a light on it, but that's fine. That's fine. So his dad is pretending to be Jewish because he likes their bagels and hats.
Oh, no, that's how they got out of...
Yeah, that's how they emigrated out of the Soviet Union. They pretended to
but
be
Jewish. But the bagels are good.
Yes, the bagels are good.
So, and that's what I'm saying. And they also have great guns, such as the Uzi. So through his father's contact at the synagogue, he acquires an Uzi and makes his first sale, eventually convincing his reluctant brother, Vitaly. Okay, fine.
Vitaly.
I'll say it right.
Oh my gosh.
Vitaly.
You're supposed to be Italian.
Vitaly. To become his partner in crime.
Wait, who's his brother?
His brother is occasionally good in some movies, but most movies not. Goes by Jared Leto.
He's a quad pro quad alum.
His hair is awful in this movie.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. So, but it's like right post.
But I don't want to punch him in the face in this movie, though.
Sure,
I
do.
The one he was in with the ass to ass. What's that?
Oh, it is post that movie. Yes,
yeah. Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, it's like that shitty post heroin, really gross hair that he has.
I thought.
But
he just
he's too fucking blonde
from Fight Club.
Yeah.
He's
also too fucking blonde.
I thought he was just filming his scenes in between 30 Seconds to Mars tour dates.
Oh no, they didn't do that until like 2004.
This is 2004, isn't it?
Sorry, I'm replaying the ass to ass part from Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, it's so gross.
So gross.
Is that going to be your nominee for best action?
Double ended dildo in it. It was awesome. The two brothers get their big break with the Lebanese Civil War. Following in the 1983 Beirut barracks bombings. As he prospers financially, Yuri increasingly witnesses his activities directly enabling atrocities and war crimes and is relentlessly pursued by Jack Valentine of Interpol, played by Ethan the Hawk.
Ethan Hawke's in this movie?
Jack Ethan Hawke is in this movie, and I think he does a great job.
Atrocious in this movie.
Oh my God.
You do not like 100%. Jack Valentine.
That one, and then the girl's name.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll get, yeah.
I know.
Oh, his dream girl.
His dream girl.
Who's a great leading lady.
I can't.
Because she's She's pretty, and I think she does a really good job acting wise in this movie, where she, you know, she falls apart at the end, going, "I haven't done anything, and I'm just pretty."
Okay.
Oh, what so, the fuck is her name?
He'll say it.
I'm gonna say it.
Yeah.
Eventually. Yeah. Right here, I'll tell you right now.
Name. He didn't look it up.
Don't be a bitch.
It's a combination of two.
Bridget Moynihan.
No, I meant her name in the movie.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Her name in the movie is a combination of two old Hollywood starlets, and it's fun. It's awful.
Yeah. So,
Mabel
Valentine, Jack Valentine represents a unique and persistent threat to Yuri's business because he has a particularly high moral compass and cannot be bribed or coerced into backing down. Meanwhile, an arms deal with a Colombian drug lord ends with the brothers being forcefully paid off with a large shipment of cocaine, to which Vitaly.
You don't want none of this.
Soon develops a severe addiction. So if he morbs, it's going to be here.
As you do.
I don't mean to, like, you know, say that, like, you can't become addicted to that drug that fast. But he, I mean, I feel like what we saw and the effects of it was not cocaine. I feel like he was, like, what we, the addiction was, like, kind of insane.
He disappeared for 6 months.
Yeah.
Into South America and then chopped a line the entire perimeter of the Ukraine.
I know, but I feel like he literally does one line and then, like, a day later, he's back in Requiem for a Dream.
You gotta move the story along.
He's injecting into his infected track marks. Well,
babe, to be fair.
Really, in front of my salad?
In front of my salad.
It is, to be fair, it is Jared Leto, and he's... method.
So do you think he actually did coke?
He fully committed to it. He just did cocaine, and then he disappeared for 6 months.
What did he do when he was the Sandman?
The Sandman?
No, that was Cillian Murphy. Never mind.
Scarecrow.
So, poor Vitaly. But Yuri checks him into a rehab center. Best place. And continues to build his empire in his absence. So
he gives him a bump before he goes. He's like,
he's a good big bro.
Well, most people go to rehab high.
Yeah, you gotta. Who get would want to do that sober?
You gotta get that, like, last bit, and then because the DTs are gonna.
It makes the glove go on easier.
No, I know. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, it does.
You don't die from coke withdrawal.
That's what I mean. I meant the withdrawal and what he looked like didn't make sense for the fact that he was addicted to cocaine.
Yes.
Like, if it was alcohol or heroin, like, that sort of thing, I understand, but not cocaine. Like, it just didn't match. Not that I know.
I mean, that...
I've been told.
He uses his profits to seduce and marry a supermodel named Ava Fontaine.
What?
Ava Fontaine!
He was 10 years old!
What's wrong with that name?
It's totally made up.
So American.
It's so made up, and it's Ava Gardner and Joan Fontaine, who are actresses from, like, the 40s. And it's just like, let me take two names and put them together. No one who comes from Brighton Beach is named Ava Fontaine.
Hold on.
Audrey and Fletcher.
Yeah.
From California.
But that's California.
Allie, it's like there's stories that they tell at the fire in the forests of Siberia. They went to America. Ava Fontaine was her name.
It could make sense in that scenario that the parents probably grew up watching those movies and were like, I'm going to name my daughter this. Yeah, okay.
Especially if they were, you know, you don't want to get caught by McCarthyism.
True.
Yep. Later, because they
Very
fuck,
American.
She gives birth to their son, Nikolai.
Nikolai.
Upon
Nikolaj.
The dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991, Yuri flies to Ukraine and meets his uncle Dmitry, a Soviet general who is overseeing the distribution of assets of the Soviet armed forces. As he illegally supplies Yuri and rebuffs his competition, Dmitry is killed in a car bombing orchestrated by rival arms dealer
As you do.
Simeon Weiss, who's just, you know, foreign dickhead.
Bilbo Baggins?
The guy at the Rolls
Bilbo!
Royce. Yuri then expands his empire to Africa and starts doing business with Liberian dictator Andre Baptiste, played by...
Yeah, I recognize this guy, but I couldn't figure out from where.
He's a TV guy.
Is he a TV guy?
Yeah.
I recognize the other guy, like his son, too. I recognized him, too.
Well, that was Taye Diggs.
That was not Taye Diggs. I would know if it was Taye Diggs. I would know if it was Mekhi Phifer, too.
It was no Mekhi Phifer.
It was neither.
It was the guy from Grumpy Old Men.
Yes.
So
Javier Bardem.
This might be the best freak out is when they meet and he's Remember when he whips that gun out?
He shoots that guy randomly?
Yeah.
There is no substitute for the 6 inches of muzzle energy of the 357 Magnum. And of course, it will never jam.
Why'd you do that?
What did you say?
Well, now you're going to have to buy it. It's a used gun. How can I sell a used gun?
And that just shows you, like, he's really good at thinking on his feet in the moment, like, and only under pressure. As a gift to honor their new alliance, Baptiste captures Vice and offers Yuri a chance to execute him. Yuri refuses because, you know, he's only morally flexible up to a point. But Baptiste puts the gun into his hand and pulls the trigger. Now they are bonded.
Can I say how uncomfortable I was with the amount of like AIDS talk in this movie?
Oh, it's a, I mean, actually, why? It's a concern. Would you like AIDS or would you not like AIDS?
I know it was a concern, but they just kept bringing it up.
Well,
it just
are you clean?
I assume would be continually a problem.
When was the last time you douched?
When that woman like had sex with him, and the first he woke up, ugh. AIDS! I was like, stop, Nicholas.
No, you have no idea how scary.
I know, I know.
That was. I have like nurse friends who worked
in Africa
at the bedside when the AIDS pandemic was happening, and it was bad. Like
Michelle,
people,
my opposite side of that, I have a lot of my coworkers.
Who lived through it.
Yeah.
I guess I'm saying more my uncomfortability with the fact that it was mildly used as, like, funny.
Like, oh, yes. No, it was kind of like a one-off.
You know? Kind of like, it was like those two chicks, and it was like...
AIDS!
Yeah. Those two chicks
that
were, like...
that was the thing we cared about?
Who were, like, hot, and he was like, you guys should leave, because you probably got AIDS. You know? It was like that, and I was like, all right, people.
We'll meet you at Yvonne's Diner. We can sit at the fancy table with the other AIDS people.
You just come up to my room. We'll do mouth stuff.
It was like
that's one of the things I have.
Isn't there a song in like a South Park? They've got AIDS. We've all got AIDS.
Team America. Everyone's got AIDS.
Yeah, that.
So just on the bottom of this note right here, it just says just hand stuff.
Just hand stuff. There you go.
There you go.
For a safer Africa.
Just hand stuff.
So Yuri is a little disturbed by Baptiste's appetite for bloodshed, including his use of child soldiers, but they can pull triggers. So he remains undeterred from selling weapons and ammunition to him. He avoids, you know, fucking the local whores and
sex workers.
Oh,
actually, unfortunately, probably weren't working.
Weren't getting paid.
I'm pretty sure they were sex slaves. Okay, so Valentine tells Ava, that's Ethan Hawke, Ethan Hawke tells Ava that her husband is an arms trafficker, total fucking dick move narc, prompting her to confront him, rude, and in response, Yuri starts trading timber and oil, but quickly becomes frustrated with the lower profits of legitimate work.
Very bored.
Naturally. And he returns to crime after Baptiste visits him in person and offers him a diamond the size of an apple.
His wife's like, the king of Liberia is here to see you.
I also love incredibly weird interrogation room that Ethan Hawke interrogated Nicolas Cage in.
Oh my gosh, I have notes on this.
Where they stepped up onto like a platform and it's got really cool lighting.
And then I looked it up, and the guy, I don't know if the guy who directed it, but the guy who wrote this also wrote Gattaca, which is a great movie with Ethan Hawke. And I was leftover Gattaca set because it looked bizarre.
It had the shallow stairs.
It was so weird.
Now that you're like calling it out, I'm like,
it was like,
it's definitely not a traditional interrogation.
No, I was like, where are they? Also, I said this when we were watching it. I feel like whoever did the production design and the hair and makeup in this movie was like, we're just gonna keep everyone looking the same. Would go from
Ethan
the 80s to the
haircut. I cannot.
No, but we go from the 80s to the early 2000s, and in the early 90s, that apartment they live in is way too nicely decorated to be the early 90s, and she always looks way too fabulous to be in the 90s. Like,
I'm glad you said that. I totally agree. She does look fabulous.
Okay. Also, you know who that is.
Yeah, that's Tom Brady's baby mama.
First baby mama.
What?
Before Giselle.
His oldest son.
No. So, never. What?
He's not a good announcer, but his dick makes good decisions. What do you want me to say?
Sometimes.
All right.
All right.
So, suspicious of his behavior, Ava tells Yuri, unaware that Interpol is tracking her, and discovers the shipping container that holds his illegal office, which I'm super jealous of. Tammy, I would love to have a shipping container full of guns and passports.
And painting, rotten potatoes.
And paintings that you did. And
oh, those paintings. Sold them. She's so talented. Those paintings.
Oh, my gosh.
How fucking stupid is she?
I just said, like, when we were watching, I was like, look, you can't. You can't say in the beginning to him, I don't really care what you do, just don't let it affect us.
Don't risk us.
And then all of a sudden care what he does.
Well, because Ethan Hawke said, this guy is like the type of dudes that killed your parents, just saying.
Well, where do you think all this money was coming from?
Yeah.
Like, right? You can't just be like blindly ignorant.
It's from shipping and receiving.
And then wake up.
It's just commerce.
The imports and the exports.
The imports and the exports.
He's the comings and the goings of him.
Yeah, he's Art Vandalay.
He's Art Vandalay.
He's an importer. He's an exporter.
Chips.
Yeah. Wasn't Diane Keaton like that in The Godfather, though?
Yes, and it was very annoying to me, too. I hate her character.
Oh,
in that
no.
Movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely
you know
can't
who's
stand
a better,
her.
Let's not, I don't want to be stupid. Karen on The Goodfellas.
Oh.
Yeah.
But she, yes, I agree.
Lorraine Bracco.
Lorraine Bracco.
She can get it.
Oh, my God.
She wouldn't, so.
But she wouldn't. She wouldn't want it, though, because she likes, she's a lesbian.
Is she?
I think she is.
That's sad. I would be a tender lover to her.
Lesbian?
Let's look it
I
up.
I would caress her gently.
How much time? Time check, Tammy.
Can you pause? We need to know the answers
12
first.
Minutes. You have 12 minutes.
Yeah, but I need to know these answers first, and I don't want to be detracting from it. Is this woman like...
There was an old Top Chef episode where they had to cook at this like really what famous else? Italian eatery in New York that like you can't get reservations for because tables are like passed down, and Lorraine Bracco was the guest judge.
Oh my gosh, she was married to Edward James Olmos.
Oh, I guess never
pretty
was.
Sure that's a guy.
Wow, that's a deep, that's a raspy voiced family right there.
She was in a 12-year relationship with Harvey Keitel.
I did know that. Yeah, hey, well, he's not gay.
We saw that guy's dick the other night.
So I'm like Tom. First to the left. I'm like Tom Segura's dad then, where he's like, I thought he was gay.
I thought he was gay.
All right, I'm going to start the timer back.
All right.
We got 12 minutes.
So Yuri takes Vitaly to Africa. This is post-cocaine addiction. To help him during a deal with Sierra Leonean militia, which is allied with Baptiste and is preparing to destroy a refugee camp. That's where, you know, women and children are. And there, Vitaly watches a woman and a child are hacked to death by Baptiste fighters with machetes.
Machete.
And subsequently pleads with Yuri to cancel the sale. Naturally, Yuri refuses, stating that the sale's impact on the refugees is not their concern, and that Baptiste men would kill them if they called off the deal no matter what. So
very
it really
true.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, they did kill them with machetes.
Yes.
Okay.
So
zero
awful.
Yeah,
fucks.
You're
that's
right.
Awful.
Mustard gas be better. So, unable
I'm
to quell his distress.
To do that either.
Unable to quell his distress, Vitaly steals a pair of grenades and destroys a truck full of weapons, that essentially killing the deal, and also killing Baptiste's son. Before he is gunned down by the Sierra Leonean militants, Yuri is spared and receives half of the diamonds in exchange for the remaining truckload. He pays a Liberian doctor to remove the bullets from Vitaly's body and forges a death certificate. Problem is, he didn't pay the doctor enough, so they missed a few bullets, and they were found by U.S. customs officials, who arrest him, and Ava takes Nikolai and leaves Yuri while his family disowns him. I mean, that all happened. We watched it, like, and it's sad because, you know, his parents, like, they were really proud of him.
Both my sons died today.
And, yeah, he calls mom and dad, and then they say...
His dad really likes the hat.
Both my yes. sons died. Both my sons are dead.
Well, they escaped a war zone for their son to sell arms. It's a disgusting job.
Yeah, and Vitaly just gets full of bullets.
I just
like,
full.
That was the best part of the movie.
That was the best part?
Yep.
Oh,
he
also,
can't morb anymore.
Hey, riddled.
So, I just need to bring this up. The opening sequence...
The opening sequence
to Lord of War.
Oh yeah, where that
bullets.
Child died.
Yes.
Oh God, right through the head. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was pretty
that
awesome.
Was really awful.
Jarring.
But so the thing that I thought about it was immediately was bullet perspective.
Oh, very like cool. That Angelina Jolie movie?
No.
Oh,
like from Freak on a Leash.
Oh yeah. God,
yeah,
I forgot about that.
I was expecting the camera to turn around and it be Alec Baldwin.
Oh,
No. I didn't. Not nice.
No. I mean, it's true.
So,
you don't shoot people on
that,
set.
That time, he could be so shitty for so many other things, though.
True.
Beside this one thing that was...
How he talks to his children?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that one then.
having a million kids and marrying someone who
Don't slut shame him. So, Valentine, he detains Yuri in anticipation of his trial and conviction, but Yuri, while dejected, is unfazed, telling Valentine that a high-ranking military officer will soon knock on the door and insist on his release. He explains that while he is a criminal, he sometimes serves the interests of the U.S. government by arming opponents of their enemies, opponents whom the government cannot be publicly affiliated with, vis-a-vis, you're fucked. Disillusioned Valentine's hears the knock at the door, just as Yuri predicted, and, you know, tells you to fuck himself, he's scum of the earth.
He also found out River Phoenix died.
Again, they brought him back to life just to fill him with drugs again.
Stop.
Yuri is released.
He was the good one.
Yuri is released. He returns to the illegal arms trade. The film concludes with a statement that the world's largest arms producers, the United States, the United Kingdom, Russia, China, and France, are also the permanent five of the United Nations Security Council. And it leaves you off with the sad truth that the war machine has plenty of fuel and it won't die. It's just, there are more bullets than we have people on the planet.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Russia's main export for several decades was a rifle. Several countries have the rifle on their flag or in their constitution. It's disgusting. These are weapons of death. And now I'm going to move on to my categories.
Best
supporting cast. This movie has Ethan Hawke. So I don't know if you know this, but Ethan Hawke was born Ethan Hawke, and he's in this movie as Ethan Hawke.
And also, his daughter is really good.
Yes.
I do like her.
Maya.
Yes.
We like her.
Yes.
Uma's her mom, right? Oh, best supporting lady, you know, she's very pretty.
What's her name?
Famke Janssen.
Bridget Moynihan.
And she did a great job. I think she's a very good actress, okay?
Sure, big actress.
She was doing big acting, all right? My people, they tell me she had the best actings.
I mean, she is the Melania of this movie.
Husband.
Look at my artwork. I would have loved if they panned over and it was just like stick figures. Someone bought my art.
I was fucking dying during that. I was like, girlfriend, are you fucking...
She's so dumb
like,
in this.
I have not used the R word in a really long time, but like that's what I...
I know. Like, yeah, What's wrong with you?
This movie had the best action.
Lots of action.
Throughout. It was constant barrage of action.
I hated the action.
Thank you for your input, Tammy.
And best freak out?
So I would say the best freak out is definitely where he met Baptiste for the first time. And he shot that fucking guy. What are you doing?
Yes!
It's a subtle cage. Not a lot of freakouts in this movie, which is weird.
No, yeah, you would think. Because he's a nervous Ukrainian.
You would think a coked out gun runner would be, like, insane.
It's all based on true stories.
So she was a Pan Am
in the movie?
Pam.
Yeah. No, she modeled for Pan Am. Yeah, which I don't.
She's only ever been pretty, and she's only ever done pretty.
Went like tits up in like the late 80s, I think.
Okay,
that means something else.
That was when he was still doing a thing.
Yeah, because first she was a beauty queen, and that was when we were operating under the delusion that Nicolas Cage was 17 at some point in this movie. Yeah. All right. Anything else, Guido? You got like 2 minutes left.
No, I don't. I don't think I need that time. It was pretty clearly the better movie, but, you know, I'll let you decide with points and stuff.
All right. All right, Matt, are you ready? You get 30 minutes, which the title of the movie will probably take 25 of those.
That's why I'll abbreviate it.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes, I am ready. All right,
3, 2, 1...
My movie came out in 2009 with an estimated budget of $25 million and a worldwide gross of just under 11. So, yeah, it was a bomb.
$11 million or 11,000?
Well, it actually was 11 billion.
Okay.
Yeah.
11 billion pesos.
But it also has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 86%.
86%?
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
A lot of people.
We are no longer using Rotten Tomatoes because they obviously
are wrong.
Again.
I actually think 86% might be kind of.
Heather, you are no longer allowed.
Again, my film is titled Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Wait, you forgot the.
Where's the hyphen?
Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
The hyphen
sorry.
And a colon.
Say the whole thing.
Bad Lieutenant, colon, Port of Call. Hyphen New Orleans.
Thank you.
It was directed by Werner Herzog, legendary documentary director, also known for Nosferatu the Vampire, released in the 70s, Little Dieter Needs to Fly, and Rescue Dawn. He's also an overall stoic director. He does a lot of acting. You've probably seen him in Parks and Rec, The Mandalorian. Stoic director with a penchant for the absurd.
Weirdly, the day after we watched this movie, I was watching Parks and Rec, and it was the episode with Werner Herzog on it.
And starring Nicolas Cage.
He infamously is the one who says, I would like to see the baby.
I would like to see the baby.
That is Werner Herzog.
Starring Nicolas Cage, described as in his top form, under the firm hands of Herzog, his usual overacting comes across as funny and even endearing.
My head's going to explode.
The madness that exists within Cage, he crafts a character not unlike a modern-day Daniel Plainview, who is the character from There Will Be Blood.
Oh, yeah, I can see the similarities here.
And also, Nicolas Cage ad-libbed and created much of his dialogue, actions, antics, and mannerisms in the movie to the initial consternation of Michael Finkelstein, the writer. But to the glee...
Isn't that from Ace Ventura?
But to the glee of Werner Herzog, he loved it.
Just Finkel.
Herzog loved it.
How much is his underwear?
Realizing the genius at work with Cage as well as Herzog, and then ended up loving the final film. The writer did, I mean. We start in August 2005. Terrence McDonough, Nicolas Cage, is a New Orleans police sergeant while cleaning out a locker after Hurricane Katrina. The movie was originally supposed to take place in New York, but Nicolas Cage changed the setting to New Orleans.
So he lives there.
Because he wanted
the same again.
He also wanted to help the city after the hurricane.
Oh, what a philanthropist.
He notices that a prisoner may not have been transferred. When he finds the prisoner about to drown in a pool of rising water in his cell, he mocks him and then eventually jumps into the water to save him. He is then promoted to the rank of lieutenant.
What a guy.
I believe I said after we watched this,
he ruined his underwear.
I no longer want to go to New Orleans. I'm never going to this city. He jumps. We are assuming he lands on something that hurts his back, although it's never explained.
It was hard water.
He gets a serious back injury rescuing this person. He is a hero.
Isn't there an alligator in the water too?
No, it was a snake.
It was a snake.
As a result of his persistent and chronic back injury, he's prescribed Vicodin, which he most likely will need to take for the rest of his life to manage the pain.
Yeah, because there's been no like updates or any headway made in back surgery ever. You just have to be on Vicodin for the rest of your fucking life.
Who is Joshua
Jackson?
This is during the height of the opioid pandemic. This movie was released.
That's so true.
It's not surprising to me that was a legit line.
6 months. Yeah. 6 months 100%. Later, McDonough is now not only addicted to painkillers, but is habitually using several other drugs, including cocaine
and hookers.
The same thing. I don't understand how it's the same thing.
And marijuana. He's even convinced a fellow policeman that works in the evidence room to bring him drugs sent there. Played by Quad Pro Quo alum Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon.
Blink and you miss him.
He's doing uppers and downers.
No, I recognized him.
His girlfriend, Frankie Donenfeld, played by Ava Mendez, who he also starred in Ghost Rider with.
Yeah.
She's a high-end prostitute who also does cocaine with Nicolas Cage.
His girlfriend that's a sex worker. Come on.
Does he pay her?
No. He just gives her drugs.
Yeah.
And he gives her drugs.
Sometimes. And she watches his dog.
Yeah. His dad's dog.
He also
doesn't know the name, though.
Speaking of dad, he becomes estranged from him because his dad is a recovering alcoholic who his only function is able to go to AA meetings and nothing else. And his equally alcoholic stepmother, who is played by Jennifer Coolidge.
It's just beer.
It hurts real bad.
She's only drunk on beer, okay?
Over the course of the movie, McDonough uses his position as an officer to bully street people and steal even more drugs. He also finds...
This was so mean.
He finds Frankie beaten by one of her clients and threatens to kill him if he ever goes near her again. He loves his girl.
When they went to the casino?
Mm-hmm.
In Shreveport or yep. something like that?
Oh, Biloxi?
Biloxi, which is in a whole other state.
This is Mississippi.
Yeah.
Lieutenant McDonough has now been assigned to investigate a murder scene where five illegal immigrants from Senegal were executed.
Very, over a possible very grossly.
Drug
yes.
deal gone wrong.
Children.
There were
poor
children
Senegalese.
Executed. There were children executed, and there was a little boy who had a friend. He was a fish. He lived in a jar, and he sees his friend.
It had a poem there. It was incredible.
Do fish dream?
Do fish have dreams?
Not after this movie. They'll have nightmares.
Information
like
comes in that leads them to a delivery boy who was an auditory witness. And through his details and evidence, they deduce the people were killed for selling drugs in a gang leader's neighborhood. The gang leader, known as Big Fate, who is played by none other...
X to the Z exhibit! X to the Z exhibit.
Exhibit. Yes.
Thank you, thank you.
Is he the one who did Pimp My Ride?
Yes,
yeah.
He is.
Yes!
Okay.
And he also has two associates.
And what are their names?
Well, one is named Midget.
Yes.
Whoa.
That's his name. I'm not being...
It's a family name.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other guy's name is just G.
That's terrible.
They are both arrested, leading to Big Fate willingly to come... coming to the police station with his lawyer. They try to get evidence to convict Big Fate. Their witness goes missing.
Who, the delivery boy?
Bum, bum.
Yeah, the delivery boy.
Yeah.
Oh,
McDonough finds his grandmother, who works at a nursing home, and almost kills the old woman in her care to try and get information where her grandson
is
gone.
Is this your freak
out? Well, she's what's wrong with America.
I'm going through the synopsis first. I have all the... Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
So, the old woman sent him to her family in England so he could avoid getting involved in gang affairs and possibly be murdered.
Because that kid definitely has a passport.
Old bitch. Absolutely. Sucking up her family's inheritance through with an oxygen.
Cannot. Okay. Look.
In addition to dealing with a murder investigation, McDonough gets in trouble with his bookie for not paying his outstanding debts.
This Brad Dourif. He's addicted to everything. Brad Dourif is very subtle in this movie. He's actually a pretty friendly bookie for being the voice of Chucky.
He's great. And also, he's the one who...
he's Cuckoo's Nest.
Scully's dad.
Oh, and X-Files?
Really? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. He owes his bookie $5,000. And then he also... The money he had was given to a powerful mobster who also hates him. He's just a lot. It's just a lot of stuff. A lot of shit is just being piled on.
He sounds like a bad lieutenant.
He's just a real bad lieutenant.
He is an exceptionally bad lieutenant.
What a goofball, you know? What a real knucklehead.
This mobster now wants $50,000 from McDonough and gives him 2 days to get it. And as a result of his treatment of the old woman, he's now temporarily removed from duty, and he has to work in the evidence room, where he's going around trying to hide drugs, stealing drugs out of the evidence room while hiding from the camera.
The side actors, and when they go and he's like, oh, here you go. Oh, I guess this is okay.
Also,
this is all, like, the acting is just so god awful.
Like, he's got a hunch in his back, and his hunch is sometimes worse in some scenes than it is in others. It
depends on how much
I'm convinced the hunch changes sides.
Has he affected the accent yet or no?
Oh, yeah, and the accent.
Yes.
So as soon as he starts doing heroin instead of cocaine, then his voice changes and doesn't change for the rest of the movie.
Are we going to talk about the iguanas?
No.
Soon.
We will.
Soon.
He looks like...
They also have stage names, Heather.
I was like, is he Quasimodo? Like, the way that he's walking.
He's dragging a foot, too.
And then he starts fucking dragging his leg. And his hair looks like... He's got no sideburns.
Yeah, he's got a dead bird on the back of his head.
Nick Cage, if I've learned anything from these movies, Nick Cage needs sideburns.
Yeah.
He has no sideburns. It looks like...
For no reason.
Laid a wig on top of his head.
Wait, are you going to talk about the disgusting parking lot sex scene cuckold?
Yeah.
What was the line that you put?
That
he
was
menaced
the most
innocent,
disgusting
people in clubs or something. I forget.
Oh yes,
said.
He menaced.
Oh, we gotta
skipped it.
We got a report of drug passing. drug passing in the club.
Oh, outside the Gator Club. That's right.
Oh, the Gator Club. Yeah. Well,
that was disgusting.
So you were seen passing drugs?
Drug passing?
So,
there was drug passing.
You know, I guess you won't kiss me in front of your new boyfriend,
and,
though,
like,
right?
He wanted her to tell him like, weird things about
this is
molested as a child? That guy's girlfriend.
Well, this is $50,000.
When I texted you, this was like... He finger bangs her. He doesn't fuck her.
I think she's jerking him off.
No.
He was totally being touched.
Well, she cups his balls. And she gives him a tug.
And then makes the boyfriend watch.
It's open to interpretation.
And they smoke crack together.
It's what you as the audience perceives.
Yeah,
perceive it to be disgusting.
They share a crack pipe.
He is a bad lieutenant. Tenet. What do you want?
He has big cummies.
This isn't good lieutenant, savior of the world. This is bad lieutenant, port of call, New Orleans.
Yeah, bad lieutenants, fuck.
He's not faithful to his sex worker girlfriend?
No, not at all, that he's going to co-parent with?
Is she faithful? Like, you know, come on.
That's your job, though.
Yeah.
So now he's angry. He goes to Big Fate, X to the Z.
Bust stuff is just for me.
And they become partners.
Oh, the shotgun underneath the desk?
Oh, that's good.
Where McDonough says he's going to supply police information, like he'll be like, I'm going to make sure you know where the drugs are and where the cops are, and you give me 15%
protection. Okay, what about the dead kid? Look at me, look at you. I never did care.
What?
It's like who the fuck wrote this? It's like the script was on the back of a cereal box.
Michael Finkelstein wrote this. So he gets enough money to pay his debts to the bookie and the figurehead. He pays the debts, and the figurehead and the two accomplices are killed by Big Fate after he and McDonough celebrate their successful drug deal.
As one does.
While smoking from his lucky crack pipe.
Oh.
So you have to have a lucky
crack
pipe.
You have to have a lucky
crack pipe. Right.
You got to have a lucky crack pipe.
What makes it lucky? You'll see.
Oh, it's so weird.
It's very weird.
Wait, this part?
So he weird.
And then the after, go ahead.
Who doesn't have
so
a lucky crack pipe?
So he takes that lucky crack pipe, puts it in a bag, and then throws it on the floor of the murder scene.
I fucking was so pissed at this part.
Where the five people were murdered.
This part?
And then he...
You don't fuck with exhibit, okay?
X to the Z exhibit, please.
Exhibit 8.
Also,
say the whole thing.
I feel like he ends up okay. Like,
and then he goes to another police officer in the department, tells him, in his weird voice, he's like, you should go. You should go back to the apartment and do a quick search. I feel like somebody left something there. Yeah, I've had a crack pipe there.
It's like a mix of James Stewart and a munchkin.
And the copies, the copies telling him, is like, God damn it, dude. Really? Did you really just do that? I mean, I'll go. I have to go. I'm a police officer. But son of a bitch, dude.
So they go and they find the crack pipe. It has Big Fate, X to the Z's, DNA all over it that puts him at the scene. Mm. They go to arrest him. Terrence and his partner pull guns on him.
His real name is Terrence.
By the way, his partner is played by none other than two-time Quad Pro Quo alum Val Kilmer.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you were
going to... This is the
who looks great.
He does look good in this movie.
He's a hothead.
Because he also wants to kill Big Fate. Yeah. And Nick Cage, McDonough's like, no, we're going to do this
sensing the racism.
We're going to do this by the book.
I thought you were going to bring up Sean Hattasey. We're sorry. There. Oh, I'm sorry.
And then finally...
He's the guy who looks like a Boston cop.
Yeah.
And isn't?
Yeah.
So... Okay. Now we fast forward to 1 year later. Nick Cage, Terrence McDonough, gets promoted from lieutenant to captain.
Disgusting.
So hopefully in a year or two, we'll see Bad Captain, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Still has bad
the
back,
the fact
though.
That he is the same rank as Olivia RSVP Benson Andre from SVU Brown. Is disgusting.
He appears to be sober. They all appear to be sober. As a pregnant
who
Frankie
doesn't?
And his father and stepmother have worked through their AA programs and stayed sober as well.
Everybody's drinking sparkly
water. They're drinking water to celebrate.
Can I?
But it turns out that he's still doing cocaine. He encounters the prisoner that he saved at the very beginning of the movie. And the guy says that since McDonough saved his life, he's going to save his. To which then McDonough asks, do you think fish have dreams?
And they're at an aquarium.
And then they go to an aquarium.
Oh, you didn't talk about the lizard.
It's Chavez.
Or the crocodile.
Or who the sex worker is played by.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He's going through his scenes. We're sorry.
Okay. Now we will get to...
All of
categories.
That?
Categories.
That was the brief synopsis of the movie. Please watch it.
This
and
is
see it for yourself.
This is where he thinks he's going to win.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Keep in mind, guys.
God, it's probably going to happen.
Focus.
Too.
Categories. Number one, best freakout. The movie is rife with, you know, with vintage Cage freakouts where he's like, he freaks out at a lady at a pharmacy to get his prescription.
The pharmacist?
Yeah, the pharmacist. That's right. Yeah. But what really takes this movie from a paint-by-numbers bad cop procedural to an utter batshit character study class performance by Cage is the behind-the-door interrogation scene of the grandma.
And the old lady on her breathing machine.
After losing the key witness, Daniel, whatever the hell the kid's name is, Cage visits the grandmother and her patient again at the nursing home, surprising both of them while standing behind the door to her room.
Dry shaving.
They come in. He just shuts the door with one hand. He's got an electric razor in the other.
Huge gun in his pants.
He did this to me after we watched it.
Is this the he
hid behind the bedroom door, and I come into the bedroom, and the dogs are all looking at me, and I'm like, where's Dad? And as I say D, the door creaks, and I go, ah! And I scream, and he's behind there going like, oh.
I would have punched John in the fucking nuts.
Oh, my God. It was terrifying.
That's funny.
He's with an electric razor, shaving his face in a highly agitated and almost manic state, often with a distorted and unsettling close-up of his face, highlighting his psychological breakdown and the extreme lengths his addiction has taken him to.
Oh, stop humanizing him.
He then cuts meltdown. He then cuts off the old lady's oxygen. He's holding her tubes and is yelling at her to find out where this kid is.
This
is
the dumbest fucking scene I've ever seen.
Thank you, Tammy.
And then after he gets the answer of he's on an aeroplane to England.
He's not choking her neck.
Yeah, I know.
The lady acted like she was choking her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's an old feeble woman.
No, it was you don't just like. Yeah, just like
she just like
kick the tube and think like, oh, it's gonna instantly go.
That's all of her oxygen.
She's sucking up the grandchildren's inheritance.
Oh my God, that's so weird.
I literally yelled at him like,
piece of shit. Yeah.
He then exclaims that he should just kill them right then and there.
Wish he'd killed me.
He hates them so much, he pulls his gun out, puts it in both their heads. He's like, I should just kill you right now.
You're the what's wrong with the world. I literally yelled, old people?
I said, where the fuck is he? He's on an aeroplane. Miss Antoinette bought him a ticket and sent him to live with her family in England.
Right. It's okay. That's okay. That's a good girl. Suck it up. There you go. There you go. That's it. Take it in. That's a good girl. Take it in. Good. Good. That's it. Breathe. Maybe you should drop dead, you selfish cunt. You ever think about your kids? Or your grandkids? Huh? Sucking up their inheritance through that fucked oxygen tube? And Benny's fucked intensive care? You fucks. I hate you. I hate you both. I should fucking both. Just right now, I should fucking kill you fucking both. You're the fucking reason this country's going down the drain.
And, well, no, I
are living too goddamn long.
I actually agree with him. Old people are what's ruining this country.
Oh, gosh.
They're what's wrong with it.
Okay.
It was really, really awesome that the grandma was like, he's on a plane to London.
He's on an aeroplane to England.
And she bought the ticket.
Oh, yeah.
No, and she don't bring me into this.
I like how you're making her sound like she was mad. She was shitting her pants because he had a fucking gun to her head.
Yeah.
I don't think that's why she was shitting her pants, buddy.
No.
So now, our next category, best action. While there are many tense moments, a lot of guns being drawn, a lot of like breaking down, you know, looking for suspects and everything, there really is only one big action scene. After successfully celebrating the drug deal gone well, where Cage and Big Fate, you know, X to the motherfucking Z, both toast to their partnership with Cage's lucky crack pipe, they are interrupted by the mobster, who is titled as Mobster Dave.
Cool.
Yep.
And his two goons. Dave threatens to take all the drugs. He doesn't have any more money. He didn't save up enough money, and now he wants to take everything.
He wants to retire.
So he wants to take all the drugs from Big Fate, and a shootout from behind the desk ensues.
That's the guy with the smoking jacket.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
They shoot all of them, but then Cage insists to shoot him again. Because because
anybody thinking about Ray Gun?
His soul is still dancing.
Yes, I did.
And then it cuts over to to a man dressed in the same clothes as Mobster Dave.
What with a mohawk?
He is breakdancing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, one of the titular iguanas shows up while the man is breakdancing and is subsequently shot again. Fun fact about that.
The iguanas have a lot of airtime.
The dancing soul scene is...
And the gator in the beginning.
The dancing soul scene is an obvious homage to Herzog's early classic film Strozek, released in 1977, which features an iconic scene of a dancing chicken set to the same Sonny Terry song, Old Lost John.
Of course. I remember that, yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
I thought you guys knew movies. What the hell?
I mean, some do.
We're obviously not so good at movies.
All right. Next category. Best supporting cast. Yeah. On paper, this movie is stacked with a supporting cast.
What is it, a pair of tits?
I mean, Jennifer Coolidge has a pair.
Filled with A-listers and Quad Pro Quo alums alike, including Quad Pro Quo alum Val Kilmer as Cage's partner Stevie Pruitt, who gives a performance so nuanced and understated when he's not on screen.
That's what you want from an actor.
You wonder where he is and not why did he agree to do this movie.
That's good acting, is when you wonder where he is.
Also, Quad Pro Quo alum Sean Hatozzi as Armin Benoit, the Boston cop guy.
Hattison. He was in The Faculty.
He is also in this movie.
Yeah, he's the football player.
Yep.
He's also in this movie. Quad Pro Quo alum Michael Shannon. Blink and you'll miss him, but he's there.
But he's in it.
And Quad Pro Quo alum Brad Dourif.
Yay!
Who seemed to be want to be out of this movie and as far away from Nick Cage as Allie did when she watched this movie.
Yes. Also,
you guys cursed a lot when you watched it.
In what universe is a bookie just walking into a police station asking for money from a police officer?
He shook him down.
Need to be taken care of. Yeah.
But also very nicely shook him down. He's a very nice bookie.
Straight up, he shook him down.
Next on my stacked cast is commercial and HBO IT actress Jennifer Coolidge, who forgoes wanting a hot dog for beer.
It's just beer.
She's drunk on beer.
It seems all she does is drink beer. Not to mention she looks nothing like her usual glammed up self.
She does get highlights at the end.
Yes.
She's got holes in her underwear, dude. It whistles when she farts.
They're doing very well.
Both her appearance and character, I'm honestly surprised she wasn't nominated for a Best Supporting Actress nom.
Yeah. Stolen.
Not to mention, again, rapper and car pimping enthusiast, ex-Zibit as Big Fate, X to the motherfucking Z, who just went to Werner Herzog and said, "Yo, dog, I heard you like black stereotypes, so I gave you a character that is a black stereotype on top of a stereotype with a stereotype."
Great.
You stereotype while you stereotype.
So you could stereotype. And of course, I would be remiss if I weren't to include the director, because while he does have a brief voice cameo on an answering machine in this movie, his vision and direction, I feel like, is an addition to the cast. Be it a dead alligator just flopped on the side of the road. Use of handheld cameras at certain vantage points looking up from the ground.
Yeah, that was a feature, all right.
That gator had a pretty...
Or just a long shot of iguanas that only one character can see. Mm. You can only just sit and say, well, it's Werner Herzog.
That was super...
It's high art.
It's high art. It's so high art.
Huh? It's high.
That's what Toto Wolff sounds like.
Best leading lady. Rekindling their on-screen romance from working together on future Cage match pick Ghost Rider. Ava Mendez is incredible as Cage's love interest, Frankie Donenfeld.
She's smoking hot.
She looks great. Titties are on point.
Ooh. Yes, they are.
Fun story. All the women that are his love interest, I looked up, or they're literally the same age as him or 10 years younger than he is.
She takes the part of a drug addicted high-end prostitute and runs with it, feeding Cage's addiction to not only drugs but to her as well. Very often is she put in dangerous predicaments, but she knows her man will get her out.
What the fuck, man?
And cheers to her on being able to call out Jennifer Coolidge on her addiction of just sitting around all day and drinking beer.
Yeah.
She's a guy's gal.
But she also shows improvement, realizing that she has her own issues and wants to get clean. Between this transformation...
In the end, she does.
She goes to rehab.
They drink water. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
she goes to AA with his dad.
At the very end, they all. Yes. But Frankie goes beforehand.
Yeah.
Between this transformation and the scene where she and Cage go and explore his childhood pirate cave.
Fuck off with that stupid fucking spoon.
With the Sterling spoon.
Oh my god, that
I would have rather
spoon.
Definitely
cooked,
no drugs were cooked in that.
I wish they would have just cooked heroin, shot it up, and fucking OD'd. Jesus Christ.
Do you know what this spoon feels like on your tits?
Oh my god.
I mean,
I
after
forgot about this
burn my heat it up and burn my fucking eyes out.
With
Jesus.
Silver.
After that scene right there, I honestly wonder why she's the one that chose to stay home and raise their kid and not Ryan Gosling. Drive's cool, but this she's so much better. Yeah.
I think I said, what is the point of this scene and why wasn't it cut out?
Here, I want to show you something.
Like the spoon? Like,
I'm gonna
come
again
on.
Say
you see this shack?
Scene?
I spent a lot of time in this shack.
This scene?
And then I found this spoon, and I want you to have it.
I know more about the anatomy of fucking iguana eyes than I should. Because
well, they go up, down, and around.
Reptile eyes. Alligators and iguanas included.
Okay.
Sorry. Finish up, you have...
Oh, shit. When I first saw this film, it was right after I watched the movie that is tenuously linked to Bad Lieutenant, starring Harvey Keitel. Just from the title alone, I screamed...
See his dick in that.
Yes. You scream, Nick Cage needs money for something. While yes, this started out as a bleak, paint-by-numbers, terrible movie, and like Harvey Keitel's movie, thankfully the vision and direction of such a renowned filmmaker took this in a completely different direction. Only someone as bold as Herzog would allow the choice of his leading actor to develop a hump, excessive limp, and a complete change in dialect in the third of the film, only to discard these changes immediately after. I know this was a lot for everyone to take in, but just like Cage in this film, I feel like watching it now, we're on the other side with a celebratory toast of water. And I feel like I've already won by making you all watch this movie.
I'm going to kill you in your sleep.
Do you see?
But you know what? If you guys...
He thinks he's already won.
If you don't...
You have 19
If you
seconds.
Guys don't watch this movie, big mistake.
Yeah.
Big Whoa.
Mistake. Huge.
Big mistake.
Big mistake.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Wow, you used your 30 minutes very well.
Yeah, you did.
I came to play.
All right, let's vote in the categories. For Lord of War versus...
Bad Lieutenant, : Port of Call, - New Orleans.
Okay.
I agree with :
We're going to start with Best Freak Out. So Guido, yours was in the Murder King guy.
In Africa. Murder King guy, yeah,
yours
sure.
Yours is the behind the door dry shaving scene. I will pick your behind the door dry shaving scene because it technically is a better freak out. God.
I'm going to do the same.
Matt.
I am also going with behind the door shaving scene.
Guido.
Same.
Heather, you don't totally have to vote, but...
I know, but so can I not vote for the...
No, you have to pick one of their scenes.
But if you do have another one, since it's...
Yeah, he won the category.
So
yeah,
if you want to just bring up another one, by all means.
Yes, let's talk more about this movie.
Is it my movie you want to talk about, or is it his?
Either one, to be honest. Your movie's...
No, there's a...
Dog water, too.
Pack, yeah.
Sorry.
Dog water.
When I looked it up and it said that he wrote Gattaca, I was like, what? All right, you win Best Freak Out, Matt. Supporting cast. Again, I'm...
Oh, it's when he shot that guy, by the way, and the Freak Out.
Oh, you're picking Guido's Freak Out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, supporting cast. I guess I'm going to go with Bad Lieutenant because I fucking hate Jared Leto.
Wow.
I do like Ethan Hawke, though.
You've said in the past that he was enough, but I guess not now.
The paintings did not save it. With
I'm definitely going to go with Bad Lieutenant.
Matt?
I will also go with Bad Lieutenant, : Port of Call, - New Orleans.
Guido?
I'm going to vote for my movie.
Okay. Heather, best supporting cast?
Wait, what was yours again?
Jared Leto, Ethan Hawke, Bridget Moynihan.
Maya Rudolph.
Ian Holm.
Abraham Lincoln.
Pikachu. And
his is Jennifer Coolidge, Eva, you know, all the people. Val Kilmer, Eva Mendes, Brad Dourif.
A movie had Gwen Stefani in it too, don't forget.
Oh, God.
Yeah, then, still Lord of War.
Okay. Leading lady.
My leading lady was definitely, I'm going to say, prettier. Also a better actress. So, yeah.
Tom Brady's baby mama.
Yep.
And yours is Eva Mendes?
Eva Mendes.
I'm going to vote for Eva Mendes because I do think she's hot, although both are...
The body be banging in this movie.
You know you're going to let that movie win.
I know.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Do you know how tough... I'm also very mad you did not mention Fairuza Balk once. No, no.
Shit, that's right! Oh, my God! I am so sorry!
Fairuza Balk outdoing herself.
Looked also, she looked great too. Not gonna lie, oh, body be banging. Like, looks
well,
great.
If you want, I could pull a Tammy and I'll just be like, I'm changing my leading lady right now.
She stomped on his wiener, but no, Eva Mendes.
Just a little bit.
Tammy,
I voted also Eva Mendes.
Matt,
yeah, Eva Mendes.
Guido,
I thought you just did them.
No, did I?
No, yeah. No, we said who our leading ladies were.
Who their leading ladies were.
Yeah, give me the supermodel.
Bridget Moynihan. Ava Fitzgerald Patrick Henry.
She's okay. No Frankie Donenfeld.
Heather, which leading lady? Eva Mendes or Bridget Moynihan? Oh, not Tom Brady's baby mama. Okay.
Eva Mendes.
Okay. And best action scene. So your action scene, your whole movie is an action scene.
The movie is an action scene?
Well, and yours is the breakdancing
scene. Why does he get to do the whole movie?
No. Okay, so just can you pick a scene, I guess, Guido?
Okay. How about when Jared Leto pulls, you know, the only good guy move and destroys two trucks full of things?
Okay. And yours is the breakdancing soul.
Breakdancing, their souls are still dancing.
I'm going to vote for Guido.
Thanks.
I'm going to vote for Guido also.
Matt.
That was the best part of the movie. I'm going to fucking vote for Guido.
Okay.
Jared Leto died in it.
Great. Guido.
Yeah. Jared Leto dying. Yeah.
Okay. Heather?
Heather. I wanted to do the guy who was dancing still.
Okay. There you go. There. So she voted for Matt.
Yeah.
All right. Now, best movie between the two.
I love that moment.
Oh, my God. I legit hated both of these movies. I am not going to lie. But... of the one I would watch again, if forced to, I'll pick Guido's movie because I never, ever want to watch Matt's pick again.
No. Never.
Tammy?
I'm so dramatic. Yeah. I don't want to watch either one again. But Exhibit is in Matt's movie, so I'm going to pick that one.
Oh, my God.
I want a divorce.
Matt?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Bad Lieutenant : Port of Call - New Orleans.
Guido.
No, I'm not going to go with that one.
Okay. Heather, which movie was the best for you?
Out of War. 100%.
Okay.
Yep.
And who won round two of the third annual cage match?
Mr. Matt.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I hope you're proud of yourself. You let this happen?
Just me?
Just you. And I'm glad that you've all had to watch Bad Lieutenant. And this
Port of Call.
This has been in the works for quite some time, and it has is really come to light, dude.
Everybody had to
watch
baseball. Dude,
it fucking worked. Beautiful.
All right, now we are going to vote between round one winner of It Could Happen to You, the polar opposite side of Nicolas Cage, round two winner, Bad Lieutenant : Port of Call. - New Orleans.
No.
Well, you know what has my vote, my dude.
You will go last, Heather.
Is this how my
this is happening?
Yes. I'm going to vote for
The actual federal government. Like, it's like, why? These are my options right now.
Yes.
Also loved... Can I just say also in your movie, I did love when they did the tour of the land they were going to buy on the literal sand and water of the a place that gets a hurricane every fucking year on the lake that overflows with a drop of rain.
Well, yeah.
This is going to be worth millions. No, they're not.
That's why I said Exhibit was just, hey, I heard you like stereotypes on top of stereotypes
And he looks so good in that white suit.
He did.
Stereotype.
All right, I'm going to vote for my movie, It Could Happen to You. Tammy?
I'm going to vote for your movie.
Matt?
It Could Happen to You.
I'm voting for Bad Lieutenant : Port of Call - New Orleans.
Okay. Guido.
Bad Lieutenant.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Okay.
Heather, you are the deciding vote.
Thank goodness that you're here so we don't have a tie.
I have to vote between those two.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the point. Okay.
So.
It was Bad Lieutenant and.
It could happen to you.
It could happen to you.
All right.
100%. Thank you.
Chicks win.
Hands down.
This is bullshit.
For the second year in a row, I have taken Cage Match with a romantic comedy.
Yeah. I mean, a win's a win. However, I feel you like- did watch Bad Lieutenant.
So it's a win for everybody.
Yeah,
Port of Call.
That is the real win here.
The fact that I got everyone in this room to watch that movie. Matt. And then I got several other people to watch it as well. Tammy too. Superfan Taylor.
He'll watch anything.
He'll watch anything.
That is true. He will watch
it. Well, he's got a quota.
Wait, Tammy too didn't watch this?
He didn't?
John didn't watch it?
No. Tammy too just heard her, like, synopsis.
Oh, okay. Well,
that was and he tells me that was enough. And he doesn't need to watch it. And I'm like, that's bullshit.
Well, yay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Match.
God, what will I pick next year? There's not a lot of romantic comedies left.
Valley Girl.
Yes, Valley Girl.
Oh, no. It's not time for Captain Corelli's Mandolin.
I don't know that
Kevin
movie.
Kevin Costner.
Familiarize yourself.
Costner.
Is Kevin Costner in that movie?
No, it's Kevin Costner's his husband.
The
9-9.
Oh, on the 9-9.
Andre Brower.
Okay. Stanley. Well, that concludes Cage Match
Round 3.
I can't fucking believe
our third
this
annual
shit.
Cage Match. We will be moving on to the month of February, and the theme for the month of February is I'd fuck 'em.
I'd fuck 'em.
So we are all going to pick a movie where we would like to fuck somebody in it. So
with our dicks.
Well,
I don't have.
We
one
don't
of those.
Have dicks.
Oh, right.
My pick came out in 2023.
What?
And it was directed by J.T. Molnar. And it stars...
Oh, fuck. Is it?
Willa Fitzgerald and Kyle Gallner. We're going to be watching Strange Darling.
Oh, nice. Because
I find both of these people incredibly attractive.
It is a quagmire.
Okay.
So, Strange Darling is very new. It's relatively pretty new movie. You can, good. I think you can just rent or buy it right now on Amazon.
Is it through Neon? Did Neon produce that?
Neon produced it, I think.
You might want to check. It could be on Hulu because Hulu has streaming rights for
Neon films.
Neon, kind of like HBO Max has A24.
But you guys should see this movie because it's fucking awesome. So,
here, kitty, kitty.
It's so good.
So that's my pick for I'd Fuck 'Em Month. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month on our website or via social media. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next month, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Play it again. Our souls are still dancing.
Oh, God.
Oh my God.